CL TV News with Rigobert Maniga. In the headlines, two bills, one of them seeking to extend the term of office of parliamentarians, have been communicated to members of parliament during a plenary chaired by House Speaker Honorable Kavai Yege-Jibriu. Niger's military leader has said he will form the alliance between the junta chiefs in Mali and Burkina Faso for an irrevocable stand to turn their backs from the West African bloc ECOWAS. FAB handball ladies of Yaoundé have defeated Soleil Levant of Betwa 50-20 in one of the day four matches of the National Handball Championship in the men and women's categories. Two bills have been communicated to members of the National Assembly at a plenary sitting chaired by the House Speaker, Honorable Kavai Yege-Jibriu. The bills include that to extend the term of office of members of the National Assembly to the 30th of March 2025 in order to lengthen the electoral calendar, which provides for four elections, and the other to ratify the ordinance of June 2024 to amend and supplement some provisions of the finance law of Cameroon for the 2024 financial year. Proceedings at the National Assembly were also devoted to the budgetary orientation debate, which offers government and parliament the opportunity to exchange views on possible ways of rendering public finances sustainable in the light of strategic government policy guidelines and the budgeting outlook for the next 3 years. Meanwhile, the decision to extend the term of office of members of the National Assembly is not only backed by legal provisions, it is also supported by the current realities in today's Cameroon. Albert Njembonde.
It is first and foremost important to note that extending the term of office of members of the National Assembly falls in line with legal provisions, notably Article 15, Paragraph 4 of the Constitution of the Republic of Cameroon and Section 170 of the Electoral Code, which mandate the President of the Republic to do so in case of a crisis or where circumstances so warrant. Today, the circumstance is warranted by the need to lighten the electoral calendar, which normally would have provided for four major elections in Cameroon in 2025, the presidential, parliamentary and municipal, as well as the regional elections. The material organization of these elections are sensitive and complex and require the mobilization of important human resources and logistics. Such extension gives ELECA more time and space to ensure that the technical and operational procedures are carried out in a more serene manner, such that this does not put to doubt the credibility of the polls. Through the extension, government intends to avoid that the preparation of one election is not tangled in the build-up to another. Beyond this, organizing an election entails significant financial resources. In this particularly difficult economic context, and four elections in a year would have made the task cumbersome and difficult for the government, especially looking at the fact that more financial resources would be needed in the northwest and southwest regions, which continue to face security challenges despite a commendable improvement of the situation.
Albert Njembonde, the Speaker of the National Assembly, the Right Honorable Kavai Yege-Jibriu, has tasked government to take into consideration proposals made by parliamentarians as it elaborates next year's budget. He met the remark this Saturday afternoon while sanctioning a plenary sitting devoted to the budgetary orientation debate. Parliamentary Affairs correspondent Doris Bateta to Equina reports.
For the sixth year running, tradition has been respected, that of providing a forum for members of the National Assembly to give their opinion on the government's budgetary policy choices in what is referred to as the budgetary orientation debate, a debate without a vote, as the Speaker of the National Assembly, the Right Honorable Kavai Yege-Jibriu, put it while chairing today's proceedings at the House Chamber, which lasted for about 4 hours. The 12 MPs who took to the rostrum saluted government for making available the medium-term economic and budgetary programming document before the July 1st deadline as prescribed by the law. They, however, raised strategic issues, not a few, and gave orientations that will enable government take into account the people's wishes and aspirations while elaborating the 2025 finance law.
Your Excellency, year in, year out, we talk of budgetary constraints. Yet the government pumps in a lot of money in areas that can yield income. My colleague who just left talked about the dam. The toll gates are yet to go operational. What is actually happening? Is it that we don't know what we are doing, or those who are responsible in carrying out this project are not meeting the targets that they have been given?
To these preoccupations and more relating to government's overly optimistic approach towards macroeconomic projections, the country's tax policy, energy supply, healthcare delivery, and a boost of the textile sector, to name but these, Finance Minister Louis-Paul Mutazeu gave necessary explanations. According to the finance boss, the outlook of Cameroon's economy remains positive, with growth rates expected to stabilize at 4.4% in 2025. Meanwhile, current inflation rates of 7.1% are expected to remain high and then drop to 4% next year. The economic outlook, therefore, remains highly dependent on the good performance envisaged mainly in the agricultural, manufacturing, and construction sectors.
Doris Batitatwekwe reporting. Mayors in the Southwest region have taken the commitment to create a common account to ease the maturation of projects in that part of the country. They took the engagement during an annual regional general assembly of the United Councils and Cities of Cameroon in the Southwest region in the presence of the Secretary General of the Southwest Governor's Office, Gilbert Achankwenty. Sophie Ngobaleba completes that story from CRTV Southwest.
Municipal heads in the Southwest region met in Boya during the annual Regional General Assembly of United Councils and Cities to ensure they find solutions to some of the problems faced in the maturation of projects.
His Royal Highness Chief Fotop Dominique Yimna Asaa, Regional Director of the Ministry of Economic Planning and Regional Development for the Southwest region. We discovered that the project maturation process procedure had not been respected, and we saw delays in execution being as a result of poor maturation. So the pertinence of this exercise is as a result of trying to surmount these shortcomings.
During the meeting, stakeholders resolved to create a common basket fund where each council is expected to pay a minimum of 1 million francs by the 30th of September 2024.
Aboko Patrick Anki, Mayor of Kumba Bedimo Council and the Regional President for the United Cities and Councils of the Southwest Region, all believe that with the common basket, we can pull our divisional delegates together and see how together they move ahead for the maturation of our projects.
While opening the General Assembly, the Secretary General at the Southwest Governor's Office, Gilbert Achankwenty, called on mayors to actively play their roles in order to ensure proper development in their various municipalities. Ngo Baleba Sophia Ibe, CRTV, Boya.
The Northwest Public Independent Conciliator has kick-started an operation to empower and equip the citizens to effectively play their roles in regional and council affairs. During the launch of the proximity campaign at the Bamenda One Council, the municipal authorities and the population were urged by the public independent conciliator to engage in the participate in a participatory approach towards development and governance. Eric Langmiawufo picks up the rest of that story from CRTV Northwest.
The public/outdoor sensitization campaign in the Bamenda One Council area by the Public Independent Conciliator was geared towards promoting the rights and freedoms of citizens with regard to participatory development. The research officer number 5 at the office of the Public Independent Conciliator, Nina Ambumban, indicates that the move was prompted by various complaints received at the office of the PIC from the population.
We have realized that the population feels the council's have left them out of this process. So we want to sensitize the council to know that it is their duty to involve the population, maybe through town hall meetings, council sessions, and developmental plan meetings, so that they can feel part of the project in the beginning, in the execution, in the monitoring and evaluation phase of everything.
The sensitization campaign featured presentations from officials of the PIC as well as exchanges with the population. The mayor of Bamenda One Council, Felix Biga, qualifies the PIC's move as pedagogical.
If you see, have people that are taking money here in the council, you have the right to complain. Now the population equally know that if they're calling money from them here in the council, they'll go to the PIC to report. I think everybody has to stand upright to do the right thing so that we jointly see how we develop our community.
Prizes were awarded to members of the population who displayed knowledge on the role of the PIC through a question and answer session. Eric Langmia Wufo, CRTV News, Bamenda.
Some young women in the Southwest region have been equipped with entrepreneurial skills during an event in Buya. The activity that is aimed at encouraging young girls to learn a skill during this long holiday was organized by the Association for Sustainable Women Empowerment, dubbed ASWE. Details with Lucia Agbo from CRTV Southwest in Buya.
The workshop is aimed at empowering young women aged 15 to 30 in entrepreneurial skills like hairdressing, facial makeup, amongst others, during these long holidays.
Ange Meve Lubafo, founder of ASWE. We felt like we've been given things which are things that we consume and get finished. How do we make a difference? We make a difference by being able to empower them with an activity that they can actually do because it's holidays. We see around a lot of young girls roaming the streets. Some of them are out because they don't have anything better doing.
To the participants, the skills acquired in the course of the training will enable them to generate income for themselves.
It took a wrestling. Before now, I didn't really know much about makeup. If I should say, I should do my pencil. But now I've learned the real makeup, which in turn I know very well that I'm going to make money from it, because right now makeup is something that is flourishing.
But the manual Ayamba, I came really looking forward to knowing how to produce soap. Knowing you can do something to generate income is going to increase your level of financial stability as a young woman.
Apart from learning entrepreneurial skills, the young girls also received lessons on menstrual hygiene and sex education. Lucia Agbo, CRTV News, Buya.
The senior divisional officer for Vuri has paid a working visit to the Akwa clan, also known as Bonamele. During his visit, Silak Marie Nogu told the people and notables of the Akwa clan that there is only one king in Akwa, which is Dr. Luidin Dika Akwa, while urging them to embrace peace so as to foster prosperity in their clan. Cynthia Etim reports.
A message to the ancestors announcing the arrival of the Vuri senior divisional officer, Siliak Marine Vogo, to the Akwa clan, also known as Bonambela. The bearer of a message from the head of state called on the sons and daughters of Bonambela to respect government and traditional decisions, saying there is just one King Akwa, which is Dr. Luidin Dika Akwa. The message has been welcomed by the people of the Akwa clan, who turned out in their numbers. Esther Ngalem Bonjo is a daughter of Bonambela.
All song brother of Bonambela will be together.
The Hausa community was a witness to the fruitful and peaceful encounter between the administration and the Akwa clan, which counts 20 villages. It should be recalled that Dr. Luidin Dika Akwa, who was installed last July 15, 2023, is the seventh paramount ruler of the Akwa clan. Cynthia Etim, CRTV News, Douala.
Meanwhile, the motto remains of the queen mother of the Bell clan, wife of the charismatic King Rene Bell, who died on the 4th of June 2024, have been laid to rest at the Bois de Singe Cemetery in Douala. The funeral ceremony to bid farewell to the 94-year-old took place in the presence of administrative and traditional authorities, government ministers, as well as a cross-section of the population. Gladys Atemba Chechuma Banla completes that story from CRTV Lead Role.
Witnessing the funeral ceremony of a queen mother is a one-in-a-lifetime experience to mourners who turned out massively to pay tribute to Her Majesty Delphine Douala Mangabel. Among the mourners was Littoral Governor Samuel Dieudonné Ivaha Dibois, government officials and traditional rulers from the Littoral region and beyond. An emotional moment marked by an ecumenical church service to pray for the repose of her soul. She is described as a symbol of unity and a queen who advised, supported, and taught junior queens of other clans values of self-respect, patience, and discipline. According to the Secretary General of Dengondo, Charles Eyango Ekwa, the 94-year-old matriarch was not only a model of resilience and courage, but also very hardworking. The king of the Bell clan, Jean-Yves Ebumbu Douala Mangabel, used the occasion to thank all those who assisted the royal family to give his mother a befitting burial.
To lose mother is something special. I think mother was a symbol of peace.
His Majesty Jean-Yves Ebumbu Douala Mangabel, however, regrets that the queen mother died without achieving her goals of seeing physiotherapy, which she loved so much, valorized in the country. She is now resting with her ancestors, leaving behind the royal family and natives of the Bell clan to mourn her. Gladys Atemba Chechuma Banla, CRTV News, Douala.
The foundation stone for the construction of the presbytery of the Bella Eucharistic Center in the Diocese of Kribi has been laid after a holy mass officiated this Saturday by Monseigneur Jean Omer Manduga, Bali Vicar General in the Kribi Diocese. The Catholic Christian community of Bella and the Diocese of Kribi are partnering to sustain the two-year project in order to have infrastructure to support the mission of evangelism in the diocese. Bruno Ndonyi Fonmi reports.
With land acquired, the Catholic community of Bella committed to seeing that they raise a presbytery for the Bella Eucharistic Center of the Kribi Diocese within 2 years. In a holy mass presided over by Monsignor Jean Omer Menduga Bully, Vicar General in the Kribi Diocese, on the occasion to lay the foundation stone, he commended the Christian community for their firm-rooted foundation in faith and the love of God, and urged that unity, prayer, and the love of God should not depart them as they carry on with God's work. He added that the new presbytery will be optimal in the evangelical mission of the mission station priest, Reverend Father Sylvain Thibault Evina Asu, and bringing the community closer together. The elite of the Bella village in a holy mass ensured that funds were raised to kickstart the construction project. Jean-Claude Bacham is chief of Bella.
Congratulations to all our friends who accept to accompany us.
The presbytery project in Bella encompass women, men and children, giving their widow's mite to see the growth of the church and the word of God in the diocese of Kribi. Bruno Ndonyi Funwe, CRTV, Bella.
The 49th session of the Parliamentary Assembly of La Francophonie has entered day two with the female network of parliamentarians advocating increased funding to protect women in conflict zones. The meeting, which witnessed the election of Honorable Lydienne Epube as first vice president of the caucus, was presided by the Youth Network and the Association of Francophonie Secretary Generals, who debated on migration and artificial intelligence. Esther Kima is on special assignment in Montreal, Canada.
It was a hectic day too today at the 49th Annual General Assembly of the Parliamentary Assembly of La Francophonie, as the female caucus raised its voice against all forms of violence meted out against women and girls who are forced to endure brutal incidents of violence in conflict situations, exposed to fewer resources of protection, and oftentimes obliged to flee, leaving everything behind. The president of the network, Honorable Susie Chantal, underpinned the need for parliament to suggest the increase of funding to end violence, champion women's empowerment, and engage men in the change of mindsets. In the ensuing elective sitting, another diplomatic gain was recorded for Cameroon as Honorable Lydienne Epube moves from second to first vice president of the network, acclaimed amongst others by Senator Pierrette Ayato. On the sidelines of the conclave, the Francophonie Youth Parliament, grouping some 80 young parliamentarians, were drilled on the effects of illicit migration, the brain drain phenomenon, and the imperative for youth to be engaged in self-empowerment through education. Meantime, the Parliamentary Association of Clerks of Francophonie Parliaments, where studies on artificial intelligence and its implementation in lawmaking institutions, with the technology's capabilities and limitations examined, its potential to enhance parliamentary work, efficiency, provide insightful data analysis and assistance in the drafting of legislation, were highlighted. Sitting in for the clerk of Cameroon's National Assembly, the APF Administrative Secretary, Buba Alidu, edified the members on Cameroon's digital legislation that seeks to include artificial intelligence systems. Esther Kima, Montreal, CRTV.
21 minutes gone after 7 p.m. This is CRTV News. Niger's military leader has said he will form the cooperation between the junta chiefs in Mali and Burkina Faso for an irrevocable stand to turn their backs from the West African bloc ECOWAS. The three men are meeting together for the first time to cement an alliance created in the face of opposition from neighboring countries. Soldiers took power in Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger in a series of coups from 2020 to 2023. All the three countries, which now form the alliance of Sahel states, have been affected by jihadist violence, in part a reason given for the army takeovers. In sports, the mortal remains of the former Indomitable Lions coach Jean-Pierre Sadi has been laid to rest in his native Meteng village in Yoko, Mbamankim division of the Center Region. Hundreds of mourners, amongst them government ministers, politicians, former Indomitable Lions, local authorities and religious leaders, answered present at Yoko this Saturday to celebrate the tactician who was Claude Lobé's assistant when Cameroon won the 1998 AFCON. Harrison Ashutiko now reports.
Relatives and friends of the Sadis family, senior government officials, former Indomitable Lions, as well as the population of Yoko village in the Bamankim division of the Central Region, turned out in their numbers this Saturday at the SA-SM government school field to celebrate the life of Coach Jean-Pierre Sadi, who died on the 30th of May. The sermon from the parish priest of the Yoko parish, Albert Boyongeno, drawn from John 20:19-29, highlighted the uniqueness of humans, describing the deceased Indomitable Lions tactician as a selfless man who dedicated his life in identifying and refining the skills of others, a virtue that is worth emulating. A series of tributes to the former coach followed the pre-sermon to attest of his wonderful personality. His brother, the Minister of Communication, René Emmanuel Sadi, thanked the mourners on behalf of the family for their love and compassion shown to his family during this moment of grief. Jean-Pierre Sadi has been buried in his native Yoko village. Harrison Ashutiku reporting for the 7 p.m. News.
And the late Indomitable Lions coach Jean-Pierre Sadi, who was known for detecting and developing young talents in Cameroon, has been described as a selfless man. The director of the Cameroon Football Academy, Carl Enongachu, and the technical director of Cameroon Football, Engelbert Njobembarga, attest. They spoke to CRTV's Harrison Ashu.
Statue Jean-Pierre was my mentor in the coaching field. He was my coach also when I was playing with Victoria United, that is Opopo. And I remember one day he said, with my ability of not only playing, but trying to analyze the game, I could become a good coach. He's the one that made me to stop playing football. And he took me with him and started teaching me how to coach, how to train teams, how to manage teams. He was a nice father, always ready to help others and always ready to give good advice. I think what happened a few months back, it is really regretful.
He took me to create with him the Brasserie Football School in 1989. It was the first academy in
Cameroon, a very good manager, and also we worked together with the National Under 17 selection, coming from Brasserie Football School, where we developed a lot of generations of Indomitable Lions, and for me this is something unforgettable. He was a very good man. Apart from the professional aspect of his work, my memories I can keep from him is when we went out of the pitch and we went to the casino, he was dancing saying "but, but, 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 but," and it was very amazing.
And still in sports, FAB handball ladies of Yaoundé have thrashed Soleil Levant of Betwa 50-20. This was during one of the three matches played in Yaoundé this morning, counting for day four of the National Handball Championship in the male and female categories. Journalism student on internship, Pewe Joe, has the details.
The fans of FAB handball ladies of Yaoundé celebrating following their victory today over Soleil Levant of Betwa. The success of Army and Police Force handball women is thanks to their tactical and physical display. Despite the efforts of the young and promising squad of Soleil Levant, they were unable to contain the much experienced FAB, to which the coach says their victory is due to hard work.
Just work. I say that just work. You know, we are trying to modify our tactics, our kind of play. That's why, you know, after every match, we have to try to work again and again to perfect our play.
Tonnerre Kalara Club of Yaoundé imposed a 27-15 victory over Dynamic of Bokito in the second encounter. Dynamic started with a very dynamic spirit, but this dynamism gradually died down when both teams came back for the second half. According to Estella Maba, things turned upside down from the defense.
As time went on, our defense was not that good, so we had to like try to go, but it was too late. We missed the defense a little bit. We had to continue our workout. Normally we work every day, so we had to continue our workout and then try to put in more effort on our defensive play in order to emulate our play game.
In the last encounter, fans of Yaoundé took on Spartiat handball men in a more physically demanding yet an almost balanced encounter. Constantine Fonkwa.
Prepare the match. We had an intense training session with the coaches. The main objective today was to play hard in defense, in order to gain balls and to go and score. So the match was quite easy. You know, we have much experience than our opponent today. We wanted to win with the manner we did it today, so we are very happy.
In the end, it was 30 for fans and 22 for Spartiats. Four matches are on program tomorrow in Obala and Yaoundé. In the female category, Tigress of Bechanga will take on Soleil Levant in Obala, while at the University of Yaoundé 1, fans ladies will face FAB at 10 a.m. Friendship men and FAB take on each other at 11:30 a.m. The last day four encounter will see Soleil Levant men take on fans.
To end the news, a reminder of our major stories. Two bills, one of them seeking to extend the term of office of parliamentarians, have been communicated to members of parliament during a plenary chaired by House Speaker Kavayege Jibril. Niger's military leader has said he will form the alliance between the junta chiefs in Mali and Burkina Faso for an irrevocable stand to turn their backs from the West African bloc ECOWAS. And FAB handball ladies of Yaoundé have defeated Soleil Levant of Betwa 50-20 in one of the day four matches of the National Handball Championship in the men and women's category. CRTV News.